This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
And we're back for another week with my amazing co-host, Ashley Iaconetti.
Oh, thanks, Ben. You're so sweet. I think that you are...
feeling good today.
Yeah, I feel like you're feeling good today. I can see it. You have your shirt off. You just revealed to me and the producers that you love being shirtless around the house, but that you have a pet peeve, and that is when Bachelor Nation guys habitually post shirtless pictures on Instagram. Is this your Ben's bitches of the week?
Yeah, it is. You know, Nick Vile is one of my friends. He's one of your friends. I will tell him in a second that I think it is unreal how many shirtless pictures he posts. I just think it's weird. I think it's odd. I don't like it, especially when you have a significant other. That's where it really crosses the line for me.
Well, he doesn't.
Well, he can. I'm saying, like, I can still get on him because he's a friend, and we all think it's, like, funny and ridiculous how often Nick takes off his shirt. I think he even thinks it's ridiculous. What really gets under my skin is when you have a significant other and you're posting those pictures, knowing the comments and what you're doing to everybody out there. It's a lot. So
wait, what are they doing to everyone out there? Is it a thirst trap?
It's a thirst trap. It's making me envious. It's making me and probably others mad. It's making people kind of probably think some very interesting thoughts. I don't love it. I've never understood it. And I think it takes a lot of confidence, which, hey, if you've got the abs, maybe it changes things, and I just don't. Wouldn't you think it'd be weird if Jared, every 3 weeks, posted a picture shirtless on Instagram?
It would be weird since we were married. And I want to go back and defend Nick for a second. I think Nick takes shirtless pics, but he's very self-aware of it. He's like, haha, isn't it funny that I'm posting another shirtless pic? What about Tyler Cameron, who literally doesn't seem like he owns a shirt?
It really feels like it's like working from him from an attention standpoint. But I look at it and I'm like, I can't follow this because it's just not fun for me. Like, that's not like, I'm not a dude wanting to follow a dude who takes off a bunch of his pictures with his shirt off all the time. It's not my thing. It is. It's a pet peeve of mine. I'll put it out there. And also, so here's the reason I have my shirt off today. So
yeah, and then I'll reveal something silly about myself.
I went on a long run just about 10 minutes ago. I was working on the driveway, and then Jessica's brother wanted a haircut, so I cut his hair. So I took off my shirt so I didn't get hair all over it. And then I was sweaty from my run. I was like, I'm not putting my shirt back on. In fact, I'm with family here on this podcast, so I'm just going to sit down and do the whole podcast shirtless to cool down. But also, I'm just feeling good today. I had a good call. I'll close it here. I had a good call today already. It's been a rough couple weeks for me personally, professionally, with the restaurants and the coffee shops. I've talked about it. We don't need to talk about it anymore. But I had a call today with a group of people from Generous, the Generous Ambassadors, and they all shared stories. There's 40 of them, of stories of good things that are happening in their life and around the world and what they're doing. And it fired me up because there's some people out there doing some awesome stuff during this shutdown for others. And so I was like, I'm encouraged today. I'm so encouraged that my shirt came off.
Okay, so I've had a habit of wearing my underwear around the house, like my MeUndies underwear, so like boy short underwear, and just a tank top around my mom, my sister, and Jared. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, you should probably put some pants on. It's kind of weird. It's weird, and you don't look like a Victoria's Secret model. You look like Tommy Pickles in those things. Oh, and I didn't think I was sexy, but there is something that I don't like wearing pants. I prefer shorts for sure, but here at my parents' house, I don't really have a lot of shorts, so I'm like, hey, I'm wearing boy shorts. Like, they're very covering. They're far more conservative than my bikini bottoms. And sometimes when I wake up and I come up the stairs and I have my cup of coffee in the morning, I'll sit on the couch with just my underwear. But apparently it's not sexy, nor do they appreciate it. So it's too bad.
So are you going to change? Or are you just going to keep going?
Yeah. Well, they gave me the talk about it, and
they confronted. They had an intervention.
And then the next day I did it again. But the reason was because I was cleaning the house and I didn't want to get like Clorox and bleach on my pants. So I said, I'll put pants on while I'm done cleaning.
That Ashley... this summarizes quarantining with your family in one story. Things are a-changing. But things are not a-changing here. We're back for another week of the Almost Famous Podcast. If you listen and if you appreciate this podcast whatsoever, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts and rate us and comment on our podcast. Things aren't changing here. Ashley, it's been awesome talking to you week over week. And I'm telling you, Bachelor Nation hasn't slowed down.
Not at all. It's unreal.
It's crazy. So we have some hot topics that we're going to run through real quick today. We're also going to break down this week's episode of Listen to Your Heart. I've said it last week that I thought the show really took a big dip in, like, kind of my personal
feeling
interest towards the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think this week it picked up again. And Ashley, I'm excited to hear your thoughts in just a few minutes because I know that you've stayed very engaged. But before let's take one break. When we come back, we're going to break down the hot topics in Bachelor Nation. We'll be back on the Almost Famous Podcast.
On the Almost Famous Podcast, and we are here to do hot topics. Ben, the first hot topic is the announcement of a new show for The Bachelor, but it's basically a bunch of reruns. So ABC is set to air Bachelor, the best of series, in place of The Bachelorette. So actually crazy is that The Bachelorette was supposed to premiere in literally a week and a half. Isn't that nuts? Like, as of right now, Claire was supposed to be, like, getting engaged this week.
So, Ashley, you follow this stuff. Is there any update on when and if and how The Bachelorette is going to be filmed? Because they haven't even started yet.
No, I mean, the last thing I heard was what we reported a couple weeks ago, that they were thinking about renting out a hotel and quarantining the entire cast and crew to that hotel for the five-week shoot. And I still think that seems like the most plausible way of filming these days, and that they would be filming in July and August, and then it would be set to air in September.
If this first headline does not point to ABC's reliance on The Bachelor, mm-hmm. I don't know what does. Mm-hmm. ABC to air Bachelor Best of Series in place of The Bachelor at Ashley, tell us what this will be. You've highlighted it, but go into detail a little bit.
So, in replace of The Bachelorette, they're going to be airing a 10-episode series called The Bachelor, The Most Unforgettable Ever. It's going to start airing on June 8th, and each episode is 3 hours. And it's going to highlight the wildest moments from the franchise's 18-year history. This is what the New York Post is reporting. Chris Harrison will be the host, and It sounds like he is going to be filming this from the driveway of the Bachelor Mansion in, the Calabasas area of California, and that they're going to use a really small crew to work with him, ensuring safety. What these specials always make me think of are, what moments are we going to see? And how many moments that are truly pretty forgettable are they going to air if it's 10 episodes with 3 hours each, meaning, I don't know the math on that. Seems like it would be a simple 30 hours, but then with commercials or whatnot, it's going to be less than that. So let's just say it's 20 hours. Am I doing this math right? 20 hours of wildest moments from the past 18 years. So it's going to be a lot of Bachelor and Bachelorettes that we don't remember, a lot of cast people that we don't remember, but I guess it's cool because a lot of the seasons that we as, like, millennials have invested ourselves in, or haven't invested ourselves in, we'll be able to see those, from our high school years and such. So it'll be cool.
It's gonna be a really interesting show. I am not gonna be watching when it comes to my season with Jess beside me. That is just so sad to think about her having to see that season.
But Ben, I must ask you.
Yeah.
Of your time on the show, Bachelorette or Bachelor, which scenes do you feel will hit the air again?
It's hard to say. fully. I mean, I think the I love yous will definitely be a thing.
Oh, definitely,
I mean,
yeah.
But when it comes to The Bachelorette, Caitlyn's season had so many memorable moments. One of the moments that I enjoyed the most was when Tanner and I and Jared were on a sex ed date. I think that was, oh. I don't know if actually Jared was on that date. But Tanner, I know, was there. That was kind of my first moment to like relax on the show and actually start to enjoy that experience. The second, which is what I really hope they show, because it has marked so much of my life, is me feeling unlovable. Like, that moment to me was honestly, to this day, the moment that I felt like I could finally be free of an insecurity I had held for a long time. And so honestly, it's just really good for me to see and to feel again, because that was really a real moment for me.
So I think I recently told you this, but your sex ed talk was just your moment that struck me as like, you're going to be a Bachelor star moment. Does that make sense? Like, at that moment, I was like, this isn't going to be some regular cast member. Like, this guy is the front runner to be the Bachelor for sure. Really awkward, but like, at that moment, my mom and I rewound it multiple times and I was like, I have a crush on Ben Higgins.
Yeah,
I feel like all of America did.
Well, and that's sweet, you know, Ash. I'm glad, but it is. It's like the first come. I remember it because it was my first moment to like take a deep breath and be like, "Holy cow, I can do this. Like, I can be myself here in the midst of this craziness." Ashley, what is it for you? What moments do you hope comes out with you a part of it?
Well, I know that the Badlands will come out, and I know people love the Badlands scene, and I love the Badlands scene too. And I think everybody who says that it's like the most unforgettable 2-on-1 ever, it's funny because every time I watch a 2-on-1, I'm like, oh no, this one's definitely more epic. That person was definitely wittier. That person has way better comebacks than I did. That's what I think of when I think of that scene. It's like, I know that I was so proud of myself for telling Kelsey off in the Badlands. And I was very excited to see it again. And the reaction that I got was thrilling, and I was proud of myself. But the only thing is that I wish I sounded a little bit smarter while explaining that I was smart. So like, there I am trying to like prove to this woman that just because like I'm into some vain things doesn't mean that I'm a, you know, a surface type person, and that I had depth, and that I was really well educated, and that I am smart. And then I just didn't sound super as articulate as I imagined I did in the moment. But I'm seriously still very thankful, grateful that people think that I was. So I feel like every time I see that scene back, I'm like, oh, you could have done better. You could have done better. Is that bad?
Well, no, I mean, I think we all have those moments that stand out to us. It's coming out soon, Bachelor Nation. You'll be having some more Bachelor stuff to watch. But we have been entertained, Ashley, by this next headline. One that I feel like is getting attention, but I'm confused on why it's not getting more. This is a big deal. The Bachelor's Peter Weber says he got it right with girlfriend Kelly Flanagan. They are officially together. Ashley, tell us what you know.
Well, you know, they're together. They made it Instagram official this week. He said in the Instagram caption, "You caught me, let the adventure begin." That was posted on Sunday alongside a picture of him jet setting in the sunset with Kelly as his co-pilot or in the captain's or the co-captain's chair. And then that's it. It seems like his parents also posted pictures of the two of them together, reaffirming that they are official.
Is there anybody more excited for this than Barb?
No, definitely not.
Barb is so happy. Like, so happy.
She's
this
thrilled.
This all worked. This all worked how she wanted it to. It's came full circle, but Peter Weber is with one of his ladies from the season, Kelly Flanagan. They are still quarantining together. They seem happy. we've had Peter on, we had Kelly on in Almost Depth a few.
Yeah, it was like, what, 3.5 weeks ago? And they were like, oh, no, casual, not defining the relationship. But I guess in quarantine, you define it fast.
Yeah, so we're happy for them. I know a lot of Bachelor Nation is criticizing them, but ultimately in 10 years, what we'll look back on is, are they happy and did this work? And I hope it is. It seems like it's working for a lot of people from his season, because Bachelor alum Hannah Ann Sluss spotted with Steelers Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. So let's address the elephant in the room here. These two aren't doing the best job at social distancing. They've been seen 3 times together out and about, and they're like on a coffee date recently. So they went to Starbucks, picked up coffee. They've been strolling. And I guess this is the guy that Hannah kind of alluded to when we were interviewing her a couple weeks ago. I think they're a cute couple for sure. If you guys don't know, Mason Rudolph is the Steelers' backup quarterback. And he was the one that had that crazy helmet hit in the head controversy last fall. And he is 24 and she is 24. And I don't know how this romance got started, but I'm assuming this is probably a DM situation. What do you think?
You know, it's I'm assuming that, just because I think that's how a lot of stuff works these days, especially when we are at a distance and there hasn't been a lot of group gatherings. Ashley, this points to a common theme, though, that's been happening over the last, let's say, 3 years. And it's happened off and on before, but really got heightened over the last 3 years, is Bachelor Nation contestants dating celebrities or people already in the spotlight after the show.
It's the DMing thing. It's just
makes it easier.
It makes it so easy to connect with anybody mm-hmm. who is famous. And
it does.
And there's a lot of celebrity fans out there. So of course, if like they're age appropriate, they're going to reach out to somebody they think is cute from the show.
You know what's funny? And I'm going to make this about me for a second. Is you know, if you asked me, and I think I remember talking about this when I got off The Bachelorette, before I was The Bachelor, if there was one celebrity that I was just like wanting to drop, if DMs were a thing back then, I think I said Jennifer Aniston or Courtney Cox. You know what I found out this week, though? Jessica looks just like Courtney Cox.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. So I hit the jackpot. Just massive, massive home run for me. Next headline,
amazing.
Why Tyler Cameron wouldn't go on Bachelor in Paradise. This is according to E! Online.
Okay, well, Tyler said that he's a one-woman kind of guy. And he said that Dylan, who, you know, is his close friend from Hannah's season, said that Tyler would absolutely be ruined by going to Bachelor in Paradise. And he warned his friend that they would make you look so bad. He also says, you had such a great rise that they'd be like, all right, it's time to have this guy fall. What else are we supposed to do? Just keep him rising. That's actually a really interesting thought that he has. I think he's probably right. I think especially with Tyler's dating celebrities and all of that, that they probably make him look like he was fame hungry. And I just don't think that there's a way that they would make Tyler look better than they did on Hannah's season. Especially,
yeah.
You know, like some of his TikToks, they're like a little bit crude, you know? Like you can tell that the guy has a
he has a wild side.
A wild side. Thank you.
Yeah, he's an edge. He has a wild side. So here's my question though. You know, we can blame it on what they'd make him look like. But let's assume for a second it's completely up to the contestants to look like how they want to be looked. I mean, Blake, another friend of ours, would be the first to admit his decisions leading up until Paradise were not good. Like he made some, you know, he dated around Bachelor Nation pretty heavy. He set himself up for that storyline during Paradise. So does Tyler have that storyline that would that would crush him? Okay.
I think so. I think he's just dated too much publicly for them not to be able to figure out a way to make his storyline not look player like. I also need to talk about the fact that it came out this week that Gigi Hadid is pregnant, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous with the what the headlines have said this week about Tyler being affected by it emotionally, and like that one night that he just had to play drinking games with his friends because he was so torn up about it. Oh my God. No. Guy's so over it. Like, don't.
Yeah.
They're making something out of nothing.
Yeah. It's nothing. Well, one of the people that Tyler Cameron has been spotted with, there has been rumors that maybe they are getting back together. That has been crushed by both of them up to this point. But Hannah Brown is out here joking about her first performance in the fantasy suite with Peter Weber. This is according to Cosmopolitan.
All right, before I explain this story, let's listen to the audio on Hannah Brown's TikTok with the caption reading, "When Chris Harrison asks you about fantasy suite week."
And were you nervous doing that?
You know what? I was nervous for my second performance. For my first performance, I was like,
okay, wait a second. When I saw that on her TikTok, I didn't even think twice about what she meant by it. Oh my God, duh. So yeah, she's saying like for her fantasy suite with Peter, she's like, ah, party. Let's like, you know, I'm not taking this one super seriously. We're just going to have a ton of fun. And the second one, I was like, oh, pressure's on.
So Ashley, just in case anybody else is out there going, I have no clue what she was talking about. What is she referring to?
She's referring to her overnight date with Peter and then her overnight date with Tyler. Now, we know she didn't end up sleeping with Tyler. She decided that she wanted that their relationship was already physical enough that she didn't feel like she needed to test their physical chemistry. But, you know, she's still saying that she was nervous walking in there. Maybe that was a decision she didn't make until later. Because we're talking about performance here, you know, so that's got to be physical, right?
I mean, I would assume. I think that's what everybody's pointing towards. If she meant something different, I would encourage Hannah Brown to maybe explain herself. But I think we have a pretty good idea what she was talking about. The headlines picked it up. Press was all over it. Again, Hannah and Tyler have both stayed out there during this quarantine in amazing ways, consistently coming up with just TikToks and Instagram posts and also relationship rumors. But we have had our final update would be that Hannah Brown and Tyler have both said, hey, they aren't together. They're not dating, but we may see them together again, hanging out at some point. As Ashley and I said, Bachelor Nation has not slowed down during this shutdown. In fact, it feels like there's new headlines and more headlines and interesting headlines every single week. Ashley, let's take one more break. When we come back, we have a really, really special guest coming on the podcast in just a little bit. It's Bree from Listen to Your Heart. But let's break down this week's episode. Bring her on to clarify any questions that you and I may have.
Sounds good.
Coming into this week of Listen to Your Heart, the couples are Sheridan and Julia, Matt and Rudy, Bree and Chris, Jamie and Trevor, Brandon and Savannah, and Ryan and Natasha.
Again, this week, most of the drama was around Julia. So we start the episode with Julia and Sheridan. She's, I think, hamming it up, making it seem like she likes him more than she really does. She's saying that she's happy about their performance the other night, and Sheridan is feeling good about their relationship, and he's saying that he feels like it's the best they've ever been. But then, of course, Chris Harrison has to come in and ruin every happy moment. Wait, Ben, pause here. I have to say, how cringe does Chris Harrison feel when he has to leave this conversation saying, and don't forget to listen to your heart?
Oh, I think he turns his back from the camera and just like shakes his head. I mean, he has to.
Knowing Chris Harrison in real life, guys, like that's the last thing he would say naturally.
Don't forget to listen to your heart. Now, I really think when it comes to The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, his kind of taglines are one that he really enjoys. Like they're good, solid taglines. Yeah. He delivers them well. But listen to your heart. It feels awkward. Like it just doesn't work.
Truly, I feel like he turns around after his little 5 second hit. He goes back to his house, which is like, I'm sure within 5 miles of this house. And he's like, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Well, but Ashley, I said it to the podcast that was saying it. Last week I watched this and I was like, hey, I don't know if this show has any legs. Like, I really don't.
Okay, I just want to say I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah.
I just think that Chris thinks it's silly.
But this week I watched it and I felt more into it. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
But let's set up the story first. Chris Harrison comes in and makes an announcement that the couples are going to go on dates with other contestants that are not in a relationship with. These can be friendly dates. These can be romantic dates if you want them to be. I believe it was a way for the show to cultivate not only a little bit of drama, but also forcing people out of their comfort zones because people kind of coupled up very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we see that Jamie and Ryan are set up on a date, which I was excited about because they had an early connection. So I thought, you know, let's see if putting them in a more romantic atmosphere will fire that up again. And then Chris and Rudy go on a date because I think they wanted to see whether Rudy's man, Matt, at home would start flirting with anybody else. But I really think that the reason these dates were derived was because of Julia and Brandon and their love square, sort of, kind of, with Sheridan and Savannah. And they really just wanted to put Julia and Brandon in a situation where they would feel that romantic spark again so that the drama would go down the house.
I don't mind this idea. I actually think it was interesting television. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was insanely unhealthy because, as we saw, you know, Jamie and Ryan did just have a friendship, and it was actually really fun to see them just bond over their history and how much they appreciate each other.
I also think that they wanted to test Natasha back at home because she never really explored any relationships with anybody else.
And Chris and Rudy, you know, at this point, it just proved how much Chris is into Bree, yeah, and how, you know, Rudy is into Matt, and that is going well. So that was interesting. Now, the Julia and Brandon thing, I have an issue because Sheridan has been kind and considerate this whole time. He obviously has put his focus on Julia. I feel like Julia up to this point watching this, I'm still shocked at how quickly she all of a sudden became all about Sheridan, because I felt like the whole time she was always questioning her feelings towards him. And for the first time ever, it became very, very present to me watching it. Like, Julia doesn't know. She knows what she wants, but it's definitely not Sheridan.
No. I feel like I've known the entire time. She was like, Sheridan's the safe choice, the guy that's always going to want me. And because he's so safe, I'm just going to play around a little bit with Brandon. Now, I definitely think watching their date and their plan in the car, sort of, that the plan was to break up with Sheridan and with Savannah. And it seemed like he was breaking up with Savannah until he looked like he was picking a fight with her. And then he said, if you want, like, what the heck was that situation, Ben? With Brandon and Savannah.
Ashley, this is so let's pause here. Let's get our clarity back. I want to ask the listeners, what do you think about this whole situation? Are you enjoying this show? Comment, email us at benandashleyiheartmedia.com or hashtag the Almost Famous Podcast on Twitter. We'll read it. Okay, so as we group together here, we're focusing on Julia and Brandon. They had a date that there obviously wasn't interest in each other. I don't think we've been proven. I don't think any of us assumed to this point that either of them were going to be focused on the person that they left back at the house. So we thought this could get dangerous. It definitely got dangerous. It very quickly became, oh no, Savannah and Sheridan are going to take the brunt of this. And I personally was hurting for Sheridan and Savannah as they drove in the car back. I felt like 100%. This is going to really hurt. But and like breakups and feel and recognizing who you want to be with is not a bad thing. It happens all the time on the show. And even though it hurts, it's okay. However, Ashley, what got me is how they both handled these conversations once they got back to the house. So You have to tell me what the kids are calling it these days. But they both very quickly started to place blame on, for lack of a better word, the victim, the person getting broken up with. They both made me cringe at how quickly they were like, why are you mad at me? Why are you acting like, why are you walking away from this conversation? Why are you being so mean? Of course you're being mean. You're getting broken up with.
Yeah, of course. That was like very weird of her to respond to Sheridan with. It's like, why am I giving you attitude? Because, yeah, you don't like me as much. So I think that I don't have to be super nice to you right now. But I
And you promised me that you weren't going to do this.
Yeah, that too. But then I guess at least Julia said, I don't think I'm going to be able to get there with you. The way that Brandon delivered it. Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's good. But what Brandon did trying to like, was he breaking up with Savannah or did he have a totally different mentality than Julia did walking into that house? Was he actually not sure or did he want Savannah to just kind of like leave and he was going to make it as sloppy as possible so that he didn't have to formally dump her and she would just decide to leave on her own?
I think he wanted everything. I think he also couldn't take responsibility for the decisions he had already made. I think he didn't want to feel guilty for ending a relationship. Yeah. I honestly think Brandon was running away from conflict. I really dislike this moment because
I really dislike Brandon.
Sure. And I think a lot of people feel that way. I don't think Julia and Brandon handled this well. What do you call it when you is that that's not gaslighting, right? But like when you like flip the switch and you're the one delivering bad news, but you manipulate it.
That's gaslighting.
To make the other person to feel guilty about it. Like that was not okay. And it really angered me because I think Savannah was like, whatever, this is not right for me. I'm just going to go home and like, I know I'm going to be fine. I'm super talented. I'm going to pick myself back up. She's hurting because of another failed relationship. Sheridan, though, I think this hit him deep. Ugh. Like, this was a real emotion.
Sheridan is the sweetest. You can feel his kind soul emit through the television. He's so nice. So rootable. You can tell the kind of relationship he had with everybody in the house. Savannah deserves better, and I truly think that Sheridan deserves better. And I know that everybody's always so sad when they're leaving the Bachelor Mansion, and it's like a self-pity party. But but the experience that you get will ultimately help you find the person that you're meant to be with. And he's meant to be with somebody, both of them, that respect them far more than Julia and Brandon did.
And our context clues as fans are this. Brandon and Julia walk back into the mansion after their date. Brandon says, hey, we're going to go have really tough conversations, but we're going to come back together and this will all be okay. So the assumption is they're both on the same page that they're going to end their current relationships and get back together. Well, this takes us to a point where that happened. You know, even though we don't love how it happened, relationships moved on. Julia and Brandon come back together. They both are hurting a little bit from this. And this is where things get really weird. Now, and I think it's a good question for our audience. Whose side are you on? But there's a question asked to Brandon that says, hey, if Savannah would have said, I want to fight for this, would you have said yes? And he mouths right in front of Julia, even though she can't hear it. Yes, I would have said yes to Savannah. That's where things get weird. Ashley, happens from there?
So weird. I'm so confused by him. I don't think that he really has strong feelings for either woman. So he's just going to flip-flop back and forth. He's a total player. And so what happens from there is that Natasha, backstage, before they're about to perform at the Novo in LA, tells Julia that Brandon said that he would have kept Savannah if she really wanted to fight for it. And then Julia gets very pissed off that she would offer up this information so close to their performance time because it's obviously going to throw off their chemistry. Then Julia goes to Brandon's room and he says, I didn't definitively say that I was going to choose Savannah if she was going to fight for it. And you can just tell in that moment that Julia was like, oh, not definitive, but it was something on your mind. So you definitely didn't stick to the plan that we had coming home from our date. You still had feelings for maybe both of us.
Nothing frustrated me more, Ashley. And maybe it's because I liked it. Maybe it's why I liked this episode. I was so into these moments. I was like, you guys, this is causing so much damage and so much pain to the people around you. Brandon, the way that you're like looking at Savannah during this breakup and the way that you're like kind of lying still to Julia and you can't decide what you want.
He's so aloof.
Makes me angry. Makes me mad. And hey, I haven't honestly invested any emotion into the show until this point. So I don't know what that says about me, but. What are you going to do?
You know, okay. So obviously I feel like Natasha had poor timing there. She had she had timing that was going to strike up a lot of drama. I'm assuming that the timing wasn't necessarily something that she came up with. I think that she was probably, you know, said, you know, I think there was like a little manipulation into that topic being brought up backstage at the performances. But I also don't think that, like, Julia should have hid that information. I just think that she said it at a bad time for Julia. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, so Natasha said it. And if she was trying to sabotage a performance, well...
She did it.
She did it, and it worked. And I guess at the end of this, you know, people call it a game. People call it a contest. And this, more than The Bachelor, definitely feels like a contest. And Natasha, well, she won the battle. Now, before we get into the performances at the Novo, let's take one more break. Ashley, when we come back, we're going to break down the performances at the Novo.
So cool. Yeah.
So then it's time for showtime. Chris Harrison announces that the performers are going to be performing at the Novo in front of celebrities, people from Bachelor Nation, and singers.
So we got Rachel, Lindsay, and Brian. We got Andy Grammer and Toni Braxton. Ben,
huge names.
What? Big names.
Those are huge names.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So how did you feel about the fact that Brian didn't show Brian speaking at all? Every time Chris Harrison went to Rachel and Brian, she spoke on behalf of them on air, from what we see.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't even notice that. No, but now I do. Now I remember. I think the only time we saw Brian was when he walked down, and then I think he whispered in somebody's ear, like maybe Toni Braxton's like, yeah, she's nervous.
That's the
or something.
Only thing I think we heard from him, which is kind of sad. I felt bad.
Brian just doesn't, like, the guy has never, like, he was overshadowed by Peter, obviously, during that season. And then, you know, they get married and, like, people want to celebrate them, but we just don't, like, Brian just is never, like, it's not like anybody knows him yet.
Nobody knows Brian. He's, like, the only final one that people, like, can't say that they know. So,
they don't know.
First up in the performances is Rudy and Matt, and they sing Tennessee Whiskey. They do a great job. They sound so good together. I felt the chemistry. Rachel and Brian love their performance, and they love the way that they embraced and kissed afterward. I feel like it just was overall good. I mean, I guess I wasn't blown. I was like, yeah! Like, I would have been so into that in real life, right? But, like, I guess I wasn't blown away the way I am later in the episode. What about you?
No, I was more blown away with Toni Braxton's comment of play that guitar like you're playing her. Like, and I'm kind of with her when she said, like, I want to watch a performance, a duet, and be uncomfortable. Like, I want to be in my chair being like, I shouldn't be watching this because it's so romantic. And they kind of had that. Like, I think as much as, I mean, Natasha and Ryan kind of had that too. But, like, they definitely, you could sense that they really are into each other, which is cool to see.
Yeah. I love their performance. So then Jamie and Trevor went and they sang Like I'm Gonna Lose You. And the judges thought that they were a little off. It seemed like Jamie was really nervous, especially the first half, as Andy Grammer pointed out. And yeah, it seemed like she was nervous. I think that kind of nerves is probably going to be more evident to the people who are watching in person than us watching on TV. Does that make sense? Do you think that?
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, again, I watch this and I'm like, I don't know what musical talent is. Like, they all sound good to me. I don't know if she, like, she sounded great, so much better than I would. So I was only picking up on that because I think there was this, you know, unlike Rudy and Matt, she had her hand on the whole time and it looked comfortable to have it. Like, I want to touch you and sing with you and know you're there. When Jamie would do that, it would almost just feel like a little uncomfortable. Like, she wants it, but he kept backing away. So that was my only sign up.
I feel like Jamie's still 21. I still feel like she's getting to know herself and getting comfortable in her own skin. I don't know if it's just a performance thing. I think it's just an overall human thing.
It could be, but she wants it. She wants it so bad.
Yeah. Next up was Chris and Brie, and they sang Taylor Swift's Lover. Toni Braxton loved the performance. She said she really saw a connection. You know, there was definitely chemistry between them. They sound great together. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I would agree. They're just consistent. Two people. They're consistent, but they're two people that I'm watching this show that I say, this is beautiful. Like, I think this could work out long term. And this is what keeps me coming back to being a fan of the show, is watching these two just sing together and relate with each other is really a beautiful thing to be on TV.
They tease them getting married in Vegas next week. And you know what?
Why not?
I think they might.
Why not?
The biggest part of their performance was, of course, her admitting that after it, she whispered, I love you. And then she told the whole audience what she said and that he didn't hear it. And then, of course, he said, if I had heard that, I would have said the same thing back to you. And they kind of exchange I love yous backstage afterward. Very, very sweet. Julie and Brandon are up next, and they sang Pat Benatar's amazing ballad, We Belong Together. Rachel felt that they were a newer couple, and she was glad that they admitted that because she felt like it was kind of like a karaoke performance. And Toni said that she felt tension. I felt tension. I felt like his body language was so off from her, and she was completely turned in to him, and she was trying to connect with him, but he is just like, I'm performing for the audience, not you.
I watched this and I missed Brandon and Savannah because I felt like they did have a connection. Now, was it a healthy one? I can't say, but I don't, like, Julie and Brandon just didn't. Like, it was so, it was like hard. Jamie was not hard for me to watch.
No.
Julia and Brandon, hard for me to get through because it felt so weird.
He just didn't seem into her.
It was rough.
And then there was the performance of the night.
You love this guy.
Oh my God. It's so amazing. Ryan and Natasha sang the best thing that ever happened. You are the best thing that ever happened. And it was hot. They are so equally talented. Like, he has this amazing, amazing tone to his voice. And she has pipes and strength. And they don't have chemistry off the stage. But damn, is it electric on the stage. I can watch them perform all day long.
And I'm good with that. Like, I think watching the show, I watch it because I want to see connection on stage. Just listen to your heart, right? If love happens with Chris and Brie, amazing. How beautiful. Mm-hmm. But if you can, and this is the wrong term, but like, if you could fake it on stage, similar to Bradley Cooper, that's beautiful. And it makes us intrigued and it's fun to see. And so Ryan and Natasha definitely have that. Yeah. Here's the cool part. Last week, and I thought it was true, the judges said, Ryan, Natasha could overpower you. Yeah. Like, she could run you out of this room. Ryan stood up to it this week. So, they were equally as great.
I completely, completely agree. They have different voices, but the way that they work together is so amazing. And I think you're right. For them, it's about performance. They're kind of singing and acting at the same time. They know that they have a friendship and, like, they're probably attracted to each other, but there's not some great romance there. But for us as viewers, it doesn't matter when they're on stage.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, that leads us all up. Those are performances. It leads us up to the rose ceremony where the judges have the power. Brie and Chris stay. Not a surprise. Matt and Rudy stay. Not a surprise. Natasha and Ryan stay. Their performance was incredible, but it was down to Trevor, Jamie, Julia, and Brandon, and the judges, I think, made the right decision. Ashley, do you?
Yeah, 100%. I was actually surprised that the drama was sent home. So next week, I think we're going to be concentrating more on actual connection and performance chemistry. Julia, Brandon doesn't care about any of this. He's so nonchalant. And Julia, she was the drama queen of the house. So it was kind of like, all right, let's get rid of this and concentrate on the important stuff next week.
Julia and Brandon are sent home. And the drama doesn't stop there. Julia's exit starts to bring up how mad she was at Brandon, how disconnected he was, and how she wishes she would have chose Sheridan. Now I'm all confused. And in fact, I'm so confused that I'm just saying I'm happy to go on to next week, because I don't think I can take another week of the going as back and forth as much as we had.
It always takes being screwed over by a bad guy to appreciate the good guy that you had.
You never know what you had until it's gone. I think 100%. That's a song at some point.
Oh, it's a Nick Jonas song. Don't know what you got until it's gone.
I'm thinking of like an oldies song too. I think, I don't know, Ash. Well, that was this week's Listen to Your Heart. It was a better performance for me. I'm going to grade it this week on a scale of what we expect, a B+.
Good. I rated a B+ as well.
And I'm intrigued. I'm going to watch next week. Excited to watch. I'm not going to be dreading it. It feels like these couples have some potential. Ashley, let's bring on Bree to break down this week's episode a little bit farther. But also, I mean, what do you think? Like, just really focus on Bree and Chris, because their relationship is beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said to Bree, I think it's going to come down to their real life love versus the passion that we feel between Ryan and Natasha on stage.
Let's bring in Bree. So as promised, we have one of Bachelor Nation's favorite Listen to Your Heart contestants, Bree, is here with us on the Almost Famous podcast. Hey, Brie.
Hey, how's it going?
Really good.
Brie, I got a burning question for you. It seems in this episode that we're going to narrow this season down till there is one couple standing. Is this couple going to be there standing as the last couple in the end because of love or because of their performance passion together?
So it's definitely going to be a little bit of both, their chemistry on stage as well as their chemistry in their relationship. So it's equally judged on both, I'd say.
Can I make a prediction as to who's standing in the end?
Yes, you may.
I think it's going to come down to you and Chris and Natasha and Ryan.
Ooh, I like that prediction.
I feel like you and Chris definitely have the genuine love, and I feel like Natasha and Ryan have a talent and performance that they really meld together.
Natasha and Ryan are very, very hot on stage. There's no denying that. They are quite a duo.
Brie, let's start at the beginning here. What was this a whole experience like for you on Listen to Your Heart?
The experience for me was everything. I have performed a lot in the past, but never with someone that I genuinely love. I've performed with other musicians and stuff, but for the most part, it's just been me. So it was a really interesting experience to not be given a lot of time to be super prepared, and then just to be on stage with a partner and having to, impress the judges while also communicating chemistry that you know is there, but hoping they receive it well. So there were just a million things going on in my head the entire time. So it's really fun to look back and see how it was communicated now that I'm watching it.
We saw you guys totally. I'm going to say you kind of like fell in love during that scene at the Guitar Center on Sunset. Is that you feel like that was the moment you started to fall?
Yes, definitely. Guitar Center will always have the most special place in my heart because, you know, it's just one of those things where the second we forgot the cameras and everything, it was just us. And when we were playing Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis on the piano, it was just such a moving moment, as stupid as that sounds, but the feeling was just incredible and something I've never experienced before. And there's just no denying that that's the moment when I started to fall in love with him and him as well with me.
What was it initially about Chris that stood out to you?
Chris has the most genuine, open energy that I've ever seen in anyone. Like when we first met, you know, he just came right up to me in a very non-aggressive way and introduced himself and then kind of like backed off because there were other guys talking to me. And then as like the night progressed, I just noticed that when he would walk in a room, things would get brighter and people would kind of flock toward him and he could just bring out the best in people and would start to sing music that really united all of us. So it's just his open energy that he gives off. It's very genuine.
In this episode, we see that you say, "I love you" to him for the first time in front of a live audience on stage and it just slipped out. How did you feel when that just popped out of your mouth?
Honestly, I feel like a stupid schoolgirl that's like so giddy. It was just ridiculous. But again, it was natural. Everything's just been so natural with him. So usually when I perform, you know, I have family come that supports me. And so I have that like that comfort. But being on stage with him, he's the only comfort that I had because we didn't, you know anyone. And it was just really, it was a lot. And so for me to naturally hug him after and say, "I love you," there's no forcing that. And it just showed me how willing I am to like give him my heart and to feel like I can trust him.
And this is a big moment for you because as we learned early on this season, it's been a storyline throughout. One of the moments that I think most affected everybody that's watching the show is you admitted and kind of opened up about being previously engaged. And during what I remember right, when you picked out your wedding dress, your fiance at the time had called you and said, "Hey, this is over." I know when Jess and I are watching this, we just recently got engaged and we were watching this and Jess, like her mouth was like on the floor, like just hurting for you.
Yeah, that experience was really difficult just because, you know, it was very traumatic for me just because I had physically picked out the dress. It wasn't, it was making it real, you know what I mean? And so when you're wearing it, you envision your dad there and your mom, and it just kind of becomes, it just is brought to life. And so to have that kind of just taken from you, it caused a lot of, you know, deep pain. And so it's been hard to trust again because I never expected him to do that. So, you know, when you get in the next relationship, you're like, "Well, I hope you don't do this, but I never expected this guy to do it." So with Chris, you know, it's just been very natural and I haven't had the same kinds of fears that I've always had. And yeah, I know that he wouldn't ever do anything like that to me.
So Ben has been talking throughout the season about how he can't relate to the intimacy of writing songs and performing songs together. Can you enlighten us non-musicians how that feels?
Yes. So first of all, with our Guitar Center date and our freestyling, it was definitely rough because we hardly knew each other. Like, let's just bury that, okay? Let's just forget about it. It really was so fun, but, you know, we just met, and so we were, like, trying to figure out our musical chemistry because we hadn't really, like, sung together. But honestly, it comes very quickly and easy when you just both put yourself out there, you're vulnerable. It's a really amazing process when you both do that because you get to places that you never would have gotten through words because music just brings this other element that, you know, no one can deny. Like music is very truthful. And so it really brought us together way, I feel like we've like skipped ahead a year in our relationship, you know what I mean? At this point, because music just does that.
Ashley's right. And a lot of this show I am watching now, from a perspective of, hey, I can't relate at all except for the pursuit of love piece. You know, you singing in front of people would make me have hives, or me singing in front of people would make me have hives, literally. Brie, what was it about going on Listen to Your Heart that you were interested in? Was it love, or was it to increase your musical kind of exposure, which would be fair too?
You know, it was definitely both, because I'm a musician. I think naturally we're always trying to be like, you know, what's next? What can further our careers? Oh, cool. This is a great opportunity. Why wouldn't I do it? But I wasn't going to go into it if I wasn't truly open to finding love. I can't say I totally believed in it, and I didn't think that it would happen to someone like me. But you know, when I was deciding, I was just like, you literally have nothing to lose. Love and music are everything you've ever wanted, so you'd be an idiot not to. So obviously I'm very thankful that I just went with my gut and went with it.
Next week, we see that you guys bring the show on the road, and you'll be sharing a tour bus with Chris. How does that change the couples? Because I feel like given that more private time, that quality time, you guys are going to learn more about each other and the dynamic of living together.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that, because, you know, they always say like, go on a road trip with whoever you're interested in, do this, do that. So it's definitely a next big step. And then just getting that one-on-one time is something that we haven't had a lot of, because we're in a house with a lot of people. So I'm just really excited for that time to just be able to focus on us.
Brie, this all kind of summarizes here at the end with hopefully a great love story and also a great opportunity to further your music career. Looking back at it all, was it worth it? You don't have to give us any hints, any ideas of what this meant, but just for you sitting where you're at now, was this worth it?
Definitely worth it. I would never want to go back to the life that I had before. I want it all to be what it is right now. And yes, it was 1,000 times worth it.
You and Chris seem to be unbreakable at this point in the competition. And I'm going to assume right now that if you don't win the show, you're still together. Am I right?
I guess we'll have to see.
Okay.
Brie, okay, so we've talked a lot about your love story. It's great. We're huge fans of it. It's keeping me going during this show. But can we just take a second? And what was it like being in the house with the drama that ensued this week between Brandon and Savannah and Sheridan and Julia? Was it as wild as it seems?
Yes, the drama is definitely as wild as it seems. As much as Chris and I, you know, have tried to stay out of it, there's an energy there, and me and him are both big feelers. We feel for people, and so it's been really heavy, and definitely, you know, you take stress into relationships and performances, and you hope that you can just do your best, because we all kind of are a family living together, so... Yeah, it's been challenging, but it's definitely there.
I felt like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
can't fake it.
Thank you, Brie, so much for joining us today. We're rooting for you and Chris in real life and on the show.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks,
Brie.
That's
a great answer. Bye. Thank you. You guys are great. Have a great day.
All right, guys. So we got one email about the Matt James versus Claire drama that we addressed during last week's Hot Topics. This is from Amy. She says, I had a thought on the drama of Matt James. My feelings about it are that it came across like Claire is assuming that Matt James is going on her show to get famous as a result of being a contestant on The Bachelorette, when in reality, he's famous already because he is friends with Tyler and everyone who is following the quarantine crew. I feel like more people know more about Matt than they know about Claire. What do you think? I certainly don't agree, Amy.
Why?
My thoughts are that Matt may be famous amongst Gen Z. Gen Z, right? Matt may be famous to TikTok watchers and people who follow Tyler and his group of friends very closely on social media. I feel like Claire is far more famous amongst the nation, Bachelor Nation. I feel like what we've gotten to know about Claire over four seasons of televised programming is more than you guys are seeing from the quarantine crew house about Matt. You are getting to see from Matt what he wants to put out there for you guys. And Claire has had a whole bunch of things that she probably wishes she could edit it out, be broadcast on national TV. I also wouldn't call him famous. I'd call him a social media personality right now. I think it's weird to call anybody from Bachelor Nation famous. And I think that I would refute with what you're saying here by saying Matt going on an ABC primetime show is just going to make him more famous than he is going to be from social media. So even if you think he already is famous, I don't think that he is. I think that there's always ways for him to be more famous.
Yeah, I mean, I think now, maybe as we sit, you could have the argument, who's better known, if that's how we're going to do it. And maybe Matt James right now is better known, but let's not forget.
I don't think he's better known. I feel like.
But Claire Crawley is going to explode here when she becomes the Bachelorette. Like, she'll go from 0 to 100 in terms of a recognized personality very soon. So, yeah, being on an ABC show always helps your relevancy. Being on an ABC show definitely helps the attention come to you more. So if we're defining who's more known, I really think that Claire very soon will be one of the most recognized people in the U.S.
Don't you think it's a generational thing? Because, like,
sure.
Yeah, like, millennials probably know Claire more. And then Gen Z, who's, like, the newcomers on TikTok, people below the age of, like, 22, they probably know Matt more.
Hey, I'm on TikTok, too, and I'm trying hard, Ashley. And I'm 31. Hey, this has been another awesome episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. We really do appreciate all of you listening. It's been a blast talking to you through this shutdown. Again, please rate and comment on our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. In addition to that, stay strong. This is a wild time, and we hope that you can find some escape during this podcast to just, hey, let your mind go, because we know this isn't easy on everybody. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Toodaloo.
Later, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.